All right. She's confident when she plays. She sounded good. All right, let's take a moment in prayer and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. We just want to pray for our country, pray for all those in leadership positions, and also all of our people that are ill, sick, hurt, and pray for them that you see them through and to healing and less pain. We also thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we left off with Ephesians 5:15, and let me read it again. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So you can see, first of all, it starts with a therefore. And you know that is a conjunction. And this conjunction is indicating a conclusion. There's a conclusion here from the previous thought. We've been talking about walking in the darkness. We've been talking about producing unfruitful deeds. We had the command to awake, arise, and now, here's the conclusion, be careful. Be careful how you walk. So it kind of goes with the same theme here. The word, you can see the word be careful, present active imperative. The basic meaning is to look or observe, to pay special attention or to pay especially close attention to something, to be ready to learn about something that is needed or is hazardous, to watch, to look to be aware of. So you can see the physical, it has a physical look, just to see, and it has a figurative too, which is what we have in our verse. It also means to process information by giving thought or direct one's attention to. It can mean to develop awareness of something or to perceive. So, as a growing believer, this is something you need a high level of alertness in this world. We live in a dark world and we need a high level of alertness. So, and awareness when it comes to the Christian life. So, notice just from this word, be careful that the learning process cannot stop. The learning process cannot stop. And this concept of learning is brought out again, just as we saw earlier, but here again, because it includes, look, always being ready to learn about what we need and what is detrimental to us. So the only way to be careful is to have the information necessary to know what to be careful of, I would say, or what to be cautious of in your life, in the spiritual life. And the Word of God gives us that. He gives us both of these, actually. And when we better develop an understanding of the light exposing the darkness, we can see. We can understand. We can know what Satan's doing and know that, you know, I can see through that now. Before I couldn't see, but the light has exposed it at this point. So, and then the result of that is you know what's beneficial to you. You know what you need and what you don't need. And that's, I can think, how we kind of develop discernment, right? We develop discernment from the Word and being able to translate the things we see in this life, because it's not everything at face value. It's not just what everyone says or does. That's part of it. But the other part is a spiritual piece. And if we can understand, have the discernment to see what are people really trying to do here? What's the end goal here? Is this something that Satan is scheming? And a lot of times, or all the time, Scripture makes us aware of these things. At least makes your ears perk up to say, hey, that's not right. Something's wrong here. This isn't glorifying to God. What is happening? So, that's what the Word gives us. And that's why I think the word here is be careful. Because there's so many things that we can fall into. we can fall susceptible to. We can fall into believing. We're easily gullible if we don't have the necessary information to know what to be cautious of. So you can fall into those holes, fall into those traps. And a lot of those things have to do with, coming from a political or where you stand in that arena as far as, the direction of your life and your walk. And I think that includes political as well, because there is deception that happens in the political arena, as you well know. I'm not going to tell you which direction you need to go or what, what's right, what's wrong. But we do have the means and the actual truth to have the discernment to see what to be careful of. So don't be deceived. It should be no secret to you what your true motivation is in this life. And you should be alert when it comes to fruit production as well. Are we being productive as Christians in our life? Well, I think the Word kind of brings that up to us. We have to learn that. We weren't born with producing fruit, being able to produce fruit. That's just part of the learning process that we come to, and we say, okay, I saw this way. I saw the deceiving way. I saw the dark way, and it was unfruitful. And it was pleasing to man. And it was checking the boxes off. And then I can see that there's a fruitful way that's glorifying to God, that is something that He desires. So there's two different things. Remember, there's always a counterfeit. Satan's good at counterfeit. Just like money, it's hard to see the difference. It's hard to see. That's why they have to get that marker, because they can't tell. You got to have something to where you can actually test it. Well, the Word of God is our test. That's our test to see what is true, what is false. What are we supposed to be doing? How are we to live? What are we to think when it comes to leadership in our country? Are they doing what's right? Well, sometimes we don't know. We just have to base it off of Scripture. Base it off the Word. What does God think about that? Does He approve? Well, so that's why you have to be careful. Be careful how you walk. The Greek word for walk here is the same word we saw earlier for walking in the light. It's peripateo. And it means to conduct one's life, to behave or live as a habit of conduct. This is your lifestyle. Remember? This is the way you walk, your Christian walk or lack of a Christian walk. Your fruit production or lack of production. That's the word walk. Walking in the light, or be careful how you walk. So we've got to be aware of how we're walking in the Christian way of life. We've got to keep our eyes focused and be on alert, be cautious, be, stay in tune with your walk, because this is easy to forget that it's speaking to believers. This book is directed to believers. This context is directed to believers. And here it's saying just be careful how you walk. Be careful. And then you see that we have a negation here. And I think this is a warning translated not. Telling us how not to walk. Pretty simple. Not as unwise men. The word there is unwise, actually. The word there is unwise. I should be able to read your looks by now to see if I missed a slide. Some of y'all tipped me off to that. Not as unwise men. The word unwise here is an adjective, and it's translated unwise. It means foolish, and it also means, now this is where it gets into detail, one who lacks the power of proper discernment. That's unwise, unskilled, foolish due to rejecting God's leading. So there you go. This is one of those verses that, as we're kind of moving into the transition of 2021, going into 2022, this verse is important. I think this verse is really important because unwise with no power of discernment is the last place you want to be. That is the weakest, the most vulnerable, and the last place we want to be as growing Christians. Think about the climate in our country. You want to be able to discern. And you don't want to do it from a human, physical perspective. You want to do it through a divine, spiritual lens. Because if you don't do that, you have no discernment. You don't have any discernment. So, remember, our country and the spiritual battle you find yourselves in require just the opposite of unwise. It requires you to not just show up, wake up and show up, but then you have to become wise. That's part of the process. God wants you to think like Him. And that includes making right decisions that glorify God. That's wise. That is wise. That's where we all want to be as growing believers in Jesus Christ. We want to make decisions that are in accordance, in line with God's Word. And you know what? You make probably thousands of decisions a day. But if each one of those decisions is for the right reasons, with the right motivation, that's wise. And that's where we want to be. And that's why you see here the contrast. But that's what you're waiting on, right? The contrast. But as wise. Not as unwise, but as wise. Sophos. There's the Greek word for wise. It's another adjective. It means learned, skilled, clever, understanding that results in wise attitudes and conduct. And I would say the leading of God in your life. Opposite of what the other one said. See, the other one said you lack the power of proper discernment. Well, now you have the power of proper discernment. Just the opposite. Most people have New Year's resolutions. But how about having one that this verse says? I mean, look at it. If I'm going to walk in a wisely manner, which translates to you making more right decisions in your life from the wisdom of God's Word, that's all encompassing. That's just not saying, I want to change this going into 2022, or I want to do this. This is covering everything. This is covering going down to the nuts and bolts of the decision-making process. I want to be wise. I want to be wise not because of anything that I have in the physical sense. I want to be wise because I'm leaning on God. I want to be wise because of what He has given me the ability to do. See, there's always a directional thing. And it has to go to God first in order to be wise. So many people take it upon themselves that they're wise and they exclude God from the process. That's not what this is referring to. So don't be so selective in your resolution. You can just lump it all together right here. Making good decisions for 2022. I like that. And this is the wisdom that only God's Word can give us. This is the only place we're going to find it. Critical decisions that are pleasing to God. This is a good verse. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. It says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, 'He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness.'" The only reason I wanted to bring up this verse is because you can see that in order to walk wisely, we have to make a very clear distinction between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. Two separate things. Completely separate things. There are many very, very smart people that weren't smart enough to get out of hell. And that just shows you the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God. And that wasn't a hard process. But they were too smart for their own good. Because this verse is saying, if any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. So what is that saying? Well, The word foolish here means devoid of wisdom or good sense or sound judgment. Well, for you to come to the realization that on our own, we are without divine wisdom, without good sense, without sound judgment, requires some humility. It requires humility. It does. So the way to have good sense and sound judgment from God's standpoint is to not rely on yourself. To not rely on yourself is what this verse is telling us. But to rely on Him and His Word. Rely on His wisdom that we can have and use every day. But it requires humility. It requires excluding yourself from the process. Yes, you may be able to do something or solve something in a human standpoint, in the temporary standpoint, but God wants you to rely on Him, but you have to have the humility if you want the permanent, lasting. And this should remind us of the holiday we're about to celebrate. Doesn't it? Humility. Humility. Many people think of Jesus being born, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and that's true. But when we think of that birth, we need to remember that Christ didn't come into existence at that point, but He was willing to. He was willing to. There's the humility aspect of that. He was humble enough to be able to say, I'll do that. I want to come into this world and I'm going to serve. It's kind of like you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You get to that point. Christ was there. He wanted to serve. He had humility. Remember this? Have this attitude in yourselves. This is you as believers, which was also in Christ, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave. That word bondservant there is doulos. It's a slave. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So that's what Christmas is about, right there. Christmas is about Christ emptying Himself, just as this verse is saying, for the world. And then becoming obedient to the point of being crucified on a cross for us. That's what it's about. Paying the sin penalty of the world. And you know, there's two parts of this we can see out of here. He was willing, so His volition was involved. He wasn't forced. Wasn't a forced thing. And then what else happened after that? Well, He had to live, right? He was obedient. He was obedient. Those are the same things that we have to do. We live, we make decisions, and we become obedient right here. So there's a willingness aspect that comes into play. And this is a combination. The same thing that we need to do what? To walk. To walk in the light. You got to have those two decision-making processes. To be willing and have the humility to come to the point of service. Serving. Obedience. So, and all this is really saying is to make right decisions, you've got to have the humility and submit to God for your life and to serve Him and to grow up. So I know we haven't made it a year yet. Some of you thinking it feels like 10 years. But in March it'll be a year, and I wanted to just thank you for staying objective. Staying objective. I think that's a huge, huge deal in this church. And going through the various small, you know, we've had some changes, as you know, and you've been through. And you've always done it with a proper attitude. Everyone's kept the proper attitude. Whether you like it or didn't like it, wasn't the issue. You've kept things in perspective. You knew what was important to you, and you stuck to that. And you let the things that were less important, the non-essentials, stay non-essentials. And that includes all the changes, right? Because there's things that I may like that you may not like, but we at least know where the source of the important part is. It's the Word. It goes back to the Word. And I think that gives us all that unity and why we can be, you know, in the place where we are in this church. I would also like to commend you for not focusing on the man, but the message. That's important. That's an important one. And that's important in this church because the importance is not me, but the Word. It's the Word of God. He gave me something. I didn't ask for it. And I'm applying that, and that's specifically for you. But it's not about me. It's about Him. It's who it's about. And I want to thank you for keeping that in perspective, because if you can keep that in perspective, you can bypass so many problems in a church. So many problems. When you get your eyes on me or someone else in the congregation, get your eyes on people, guess what happens? Drama. Church issues start to happen. And we've all experienced those. We've all seen them. We've all been around them. But when you get your eyes on people and you stop applying, the Word becomes secondary, you start seeing some drama. And as you well know, I've got a sin nature just like everyone else, which means I fail. And I will fail. And I may make bad decisions. But I've got some leadership that is very, very helpful. So, and I think that you can trust the combination of that. And most of all, that we lean on the Word. We don't lean on ourselves in anything that we do. So, don't get your eyes on people. Don't lose sight of the main purpose of this church, which is first salvation and then to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. My advice as I was writing this is to just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't get the big head, as Roy used to tell us. And when you give us advice that you're doing good, keep doing what you're doing. That's the bottom line. And of course, I can take no credit for this. God has been working on this long before now. And through Roy and Joyce, Grace Bible Church was founded to lay the foundation we have today. So there you go, 1975, 46 years later. Here we are. So how you feel, how you think, started long before now, obviously. But I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing. Because it's important. And it's what's making this church run efficiently. And by the way, this is as efficient as it's going to get. Because you need to enjoy what we have. Take advantage of what we have now. Because only what comes after this is more drama, more problems. With more people come more problems. And let me tell you, that will come. That will come. But God has to make it come at just the right time. There's proper timing in all these things, right? If we get something before we can handle it, we don't want it. We don't want it. That's why we need to take advantage. Be thankful for where we are right now. Thankful for the smaller, more personal Bible studies. I think that's important. I feel like it's personal. It's more personal. It's always personal, but when you got hundreds of thousands of people, you know, it's not as intimate as this. Be thankful for less amount of drama in the church. Be thankful that we get to watch God build us from the inside out. Be thankful that He's preparing you for whatever He has in store for you. This is preparation time for us. And as we go into the Christmas season, what a great time to reacclimate to Matthew 20:28, where Jesus Himself said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. You know, He made the choice to submit to the Father's plan and serve, and His service excludes no one. It included every single person in the face of the earth in history. So He was born to clear the path allowing you the opportunity to get back in a relationship with Him. And I would say that's definitely serving. He cleared the path. The bulldozer came through. That was His service. So what do we have? I mean, why can't we give just part of that back? A little small little smidgen in our little place on earth through Him serving back what He gave us. I mean, He gave us freedom through the cross. And I'm going to say that's spiritual and physical freedom. So, and I had this slide. Doesn't look like much. That was centered when I was at home, but it's not now, but that's okay. The point of this is Christmas isn't about Santa Claus, but about Christ. That's what it's about. Santa Claus wouldn't have any presents to deliver if it wasn't about Christ. And the kids need to be familiar with the reason for the season. And I think we can all help in putting the Christ back into Christmas. Maybe we should start calling it Christmas. People would probably look at you kind of funny. But Christmas, it's what it is. Right? You might get some ears start to perk. What did he say? And who knows, maybe this year will be the next great awakening. You never know, right? But I would guess that whatever is in store, whatever is the case, you are in a position to overcome anything and everything in Christ. Without a doubt. No doubt in my mind. There is no doubt. Good or bad. Doesn't matter. Who cares, right? What does it matter? What you have and what I have, God is on our side. And that's all that matters right now. So, I came across, you can look this up if you want. It's not a big deal. But I just wanted to mention it because I came across a video. It's called, if you wanted to search for it, it's called Atheist Comedian Turns to God. Might have seen it. And at the end of that interview, he's being interviewed, and the interviewer asks the comedian, she says, what if there was someone out there watching this video who's maybe having a hard time, not sure how to get out of it, maybe not sure if God is real or if they don't even know where to go. They don't even know how to move forward. She said, what encouragement or what would you give to them? And I thought it was interesting what he said. He said, pray. And he paused. He just said, pray. He said, whether you believe or not, he said, fake it. He said, Jesus said, knock and I'll answer. Seek. He said, swallow your pride. Get on your knees and say, I can't do it anymore. That's what he said. So, it's interesting to know that all we have to do is try. Just try. And you can even fake it. If you don't know what to do, all you got to do is try to go in the right direction. It doesn't matter if you don't even know what direction it is. God's going to come and pick you right up off your feet and put you where you belong. So, keep seeking and you will walk in wisdom. God will protect you. He always does, right? So with that being said, let's go enjoy some food and I'll say grace and we'll do that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are just beyond thankful for just Your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that this isn't just a once a year thing. This is a daily recognition for us in our soul for the fact that what You have done for us and the ability that You gave us, you granted us by grace to come into this relationship, and all of a sudden now we can have things that we never could dream of. First of all, to be happy. To be content, to be satisfied through Your Word. It doesn't matter what we find ourselves in. All that matters is what's on the inside. And we're so grateful for that fact. And we'd also like to ask that You bless this food that we're about to eat to the nourishment of our bodies. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.